Y'all, over the last few weeks, we've been in a sermon series called Full House. Now, I've been highlighting, you know, those good family sitcoms, those good family 90s sitcoms when TV was perfect, those family sitcoms. The reason why, one of the reasons why I love those family sitcoms is like they're very predictable, extremely predictable. I mean, nearly every episode, this is exactly what happened. At the very beginning, everything is good, and then somebody would do something to tick somebody off, and they would spend the majority of the episode trying to solve this problem, and then at the very end, you will have this, it would cue up the corny, cheesy music, and then it'd be a 45-second conversation about what they did wrong and them forgiving one another. Then they hug it out, and then they go on to the next episode. Like, for the longest, I used to think that it just only took 45 seconds to heal, you know, to get through a bad event. And, you know, especially with me and Heidi, it's more like 45 hours. But, love you, Heidi. But you think about that. It happened every episode. And again, right after that, it moved forward. But check this out. There were those episodes that you see the problem, and they will go through the problem the entire episode. And then at the end of the episode, that cheesy string music did not cue up. And they didn't say, I'm sorry. Like, at the end of the episode, the problem would still be there. But check this out. Nearly every time that happened, there was a huge tag at the end of that episode. And that tag said, to be continued, dot, dot, dot. To be continued, which meant that you had to wait a whole nother week to figure out what happened in the next episode. Now, put a pin in that to be continued. Church, our home base for this series is Ephesians 1:5, which tells us that all believers are adopted into God's family. So if you are a believer, we're adopted into this big family. Now think about this. All believers, God shows no partiality. The word says, for everybody who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everybody. So that's people from different cultures. That's people from different colors, different backgrounds, different experiences. And so whenever we have all of these differences, that means fighting will happen. It's inevitable. If you are a part of a big family, you're going to fight at some time. What separates the great families from the terrible families is how you fight. Am I making sense? Are y'all smelling when I'm stepping in? Again, with all of these differences, with all of these trials and tribulations, you're not going to see eye to eye. Family will be easy if we all looked, talked, acted, thought exactly the same. But it's not. Very diverse, very different. Now, hear this. How we respond. Now, God tells us how to respond whenever we have these fights. Now, we know that we're not just supposed to have a fight and let it linger on and on and on and on. We shouldn't have that to be continued in our lives, that we should deal with it and move forward. This is just one verse. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 through 32 says this. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, y'all, clamor is like loud fighting, annoying noise, and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Now, malice is the desiring to do evil to one another. Verse 32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Let's repeat that one more time. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with malice, with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So we are commissioned by God, commanded by God to move forward, to forgive one another. But here's the problem, men and women. A lot of the times, we want to put the to be continued to our life. To be continued. God, now think about this. Jesus, they said in the word that Jesus, thank you so much, Mike, for reminding me this earlier this week. It says that Jesus grew up in wisdom and stature and in favor with what? God, vertical relationship, you and God, and man. Jesus grew favor with God and man. If he grew favor with man, that means that God worked on a relationship. So he had great relationship with his brothers and sisters. God took the time and the effort and the energy, had those conversations to build that emotional equity so they can go to advance the kingdom of God together. Together. Which means that he had to forgive. He had to have those conversations. There was no to be continued with God. But check this out. Whenever you don't forgive that episode in your life, you know, you're stuck on that episode. You can't move forward. Are y'all smelling what I'm stepping in? You can't move forward. You're looking at that person and you're like, oh, to be continued. Think about this. You ever watch an episode of whatever? You ever watch an episode of whatever show that you like? And before the episode starts, it gives you a recap by saying, previously on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, you know, previously on This Is Us, or whatever show that you watch with Heidi, previously on House Hunters, you know. And it gives you a recap so you can understand what's going on forward. But check this out. Church, in dealing with relationships with others, there can't be a previously on when they disrespected me, previously when they were a jerk to me, previously when they interrupted me, previously whenever they lied to me, previously whenever they abused me, previously whatever. Sometimes, y'all, we're so stuck with the to be continued and we can't move forward to the episode that God wants us to have to move forward with one another because we're so stuck on what happened in the past. And that is a huge problem, men and women. God wants us to move forward and have favor with God and man. But we look at the individual and we're so focused on what they did prior. And then whenever we do that, they feel our wrath. You all, doesn't it feel good, though, to punish somebody who did something bad to you? It feels good. Feels great. But that is the opposite of what God wants you to do. And if you are doing the opposite of what God wants you to do in any area of your life, bad things will happen. Whenever you do the opposite of what God wants you to do, not only it hinders your relationship with others, but it hinders your relationship with God. Check this out, y'all. Failing to forgive others not only negatively affects your relationship with people, but it also negatively affects your relationship with God. People who are being baptized get extremely excited because there's a dude, just don't worry about me. Just dump it all in there. Just go right ahead. Just dump it. Yep. Because I'm going to be really distracted. Just go. There you go. There we go. Appreciate you. Y'all went from a jacuzzi to an ice bath right there in a matter of seconds. Let me repeat that point, y'all. Hear this. Now, this is big. Now, hearing this point, you have to ask yourself, am I okay with this? Failing to forgive others not only negatively affects your relationship with people, but it also negatively affects your relationship with God. Your relationship with God is hindered because of your inability to forgive your brother. Are you okay with that? Are you okay that you're struggling in your relationship between you and God? You have to ask yourself that. Now, let's go more specific because that's pretty vague, right? You know, that's pretty broad. Like, oh, yeah, your relationship with God will be negatively affected. But let me go to specifics here. Hear this, which is my point. Failing to forgive others hinders your direct line of communication to God. Let me repeat that. Failing to forgive others hinders, which means it delays, it obstructs your direct line of communication, your horizontal communication, your horizontal relationship with God, which are your prayers. And praying is everything. Your prayers are hindered whenever you fail to forgive that horizontal relationship with others to the vertical God. Why do you think God was like, man, you can't love me and hate people? It don't work out that way, homeboy. Why do you think God goes like, no, you know, like, forgive, like, whenever we pray, like, God, forgive me of my sins as I forgive others of theirs. How you treat others directly affects your relationship with the Lord. Again, y'all, praying is everything. God says that you need to pray for everything and everyone. But whenever you don't forgive, it hinders your prayers. Maybe you all are not understanding it correctly. So how about this? Have you ever been on the cell phone with somebody and they reach a dead spot? And, you know, you're like, your communication is jacked up. And whatever you wanted to communicate to that person does not follow through. It's a trouble. It's trouble. Am I making sense? That is exactly what happens to your prayers. No matter how strong you feel about their prayer, no matter how much you desire it for yourself and others, they are a hindrance. God, when you and your prayers are ineffective. I had to check myself about this because I pray for everything. I pray for my wife. I pray for my children. I pray for you. I pray for our finances, like together. I pray for the poor. I pray for the marginalized. I pray for the abused. I pray for my enemies. I'm praying all of it. And God is like, wait a minute. How's your relationships with your brothers? Because my brother and my son, I ain't hearing it. Then I had to really check myself before I wreck myself. Think about this, y'all. James 5 says, like, this is just praying, all right? Let me just give you a few verses. James 5 says we need to pray to endure suffering. We all are going to experience suffering. And in James 5, it says pray to endure it. You're going to go through it. It's going to be tough. But you pray so I can give you the strength to move through it. Luke 18 says that we need to pray so we don't lose heart. Whenever it looks like, you know, we're down in the fourth quarter in our lives and don't look like that we can make our way out, God goes, pray so you won't lose heart. Even though it doesn't seem like you're going to go through it, I got you. We need to pray for that. Philippians 4 says that we need to pray so that we won't be anxious. Matthew 6 said we need to pray so that we can receive our basic needs. Matthew 6 says we need to pray that we don't fall into temptation. So think about this. If my prayers are hindered just by these few verses, that means this, all right? If our prayers are hindered, then we will fail at enduring our suffering. We will fail. We will be more likely to lose heart and have no faith. We will be more anxious in a trial. We won't trust God for our basic needs, and we'll sin more often, all because our prayers are hindered because we fail to forgive God's given family. That's just five verses. The Bible is full of hundreds of verses of the positive consequences that you get to experience whenever you pray. Hundreds. Maybe, church, our prayers are not being answered because we're failing to forgive our brothers and sisters. Maybe the progress you want to see in your family or in your own life is not being answered because your prayers are hindered because of your horizontal relationship with your brother or sister. That's scary. I'm not trying to insult anybody's intelligence here. I know every saint in here knows that you're supposed to forgive. Oh, we know that. Okay. But sometimes we can kind of skip over the why and the effects of when we don't. And I want to experience all of the blessings here on earth before I get to heaven. I want to experience all that God has to offer for me and my people. You are my people, and I am your people. And I want to experience the beauty of what God has for us. In order for us to do that, we need to love each other, to look past their offenses and forgive them. That's tough, but somebody got to do it, and we are the people that has to do it. Oh, this sermon is speaking to me. I gotta have some conversations later on. I promise you I do. I was looking at Heidi last night, and I'm like, man, I am convicted. Even with Heidi, I'm like, God has convicted me like crazy. Now, some of you in here are like, okay, God, you're calling me to forgive. Okay, but Richard, you have no idea what I've experienced. This forgiveness thing is tough right here. Like, I've experienced some major heartache. And it seems like it's impossible for me to get forgive. I want to do it. God, I want to do it, but I can't. With that, maybe you can insert whatever. It may be a cheating spouse. It may be an absent parent. It may be an abusive family member, whatever that may be. You're experiencing grave heartache. And you're like, God, I can't do it. Or you may like, God, like, what do I need to do to get to that point? What do I need to do to get to that point? Because right now, whatever I'm doing, it ain't working. I know that feeling. Men and women, I know. You experience that great heartache and you want to forgive, but you can't. Check this out. Like, and a lot of you all know my story. When I'm like 9 and 10, like, I was abused, sexually abused by a man that I shared a room with for years. And by the grace of God, it just stopped. Now, I'm not saying this for the pity party. I'm just, you know, I'm confessing this to you all. I'm sharing this to you all about the goodness of God because, you know, and like much later, I just kept that inside. And eventually, God was like, you have to deal with that because you all buried issues never die. They will resurface eventually. And it waited years to resurface. And whenever it resurfaced, it was ugly. Ugly, and I had a bunch of pain and resentment and hatred. And God goes, Richard, I want that area of your heart. And so I gave it to God. And it took a while, y'all, but right now I can look that man in the face and I'm like, man, I love you and I can't wait for you to know Jesus because one day we're going to be worshiping closely alongside of one another. Let me tell y'all this. I can't do that myself. God has to do it. I can't do that myself. There's no power in me to be able to do it. We have to go take this to God. So Jesus, what did you do? What did you do in this situation? Y'all, check out Luke 23. Luke 23, verse 34. Jesus on the cross said this, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garment. Do you know how crazy that is? Let's get a little bit of context. This is the creator of the world. Like, he created children, the children, right? The people he created and loved. It came to this earth to be reconciled to them so he can be with them forever. They killed him. And so not only he had to experience that physical pain, literally being suspended from a tree, nails in his hands and his feet. Think about this. Jesus said, forgive them. He had to experience the worst pain ever, which is separation from God. Having to endure that, he said, forgive them. Now you think about this. You know what? Whenever there's a big difference between when a husband gets sick and when a wife gets sick. When a dad or a mom gets sick. This is what happens when Heidi gets sick, right? You know, no matter what, we got all girls, and they're all saying, mommy, 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 mommy. The only time they really want daddy is whenever they get hurt a few times or whenever it's time to play like crazy, you know? When they want mommy for everything. Mommy, fix this. Mommy, get this. Mommy, don't do this. Mommy, do this. I mean, it's like mommy, 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 mommy. So when Heidi gets sick, you know, I'm saying, so she has a baby like on her hip, you know, and then she has Maggie and Violet, you know, constantly tugging on her. Hey, mommy, mommy, mommy. And Heidi's getting up and she's doing this. She's running around the house like crazy. In fact, I am certain that when Heidi gets sick, her workload increases and she doesn't. And she doesn't. And I'm like, girl, you're running a million temperature right now. How are you functioning? When I sneeze, I want everybody to get away from me. It's crazy. Like, whenever I'm sick, not only do I want everybody to get away from me, but I want everybody to cater to my needs at the same time. Like, when I'm in the bed and Maggie and Violet are out playing, I get mad whenever I hear them. And I'm like, and internally, I'm like, children, what are you doing? Why are you not fasting and praying by my bedside right now? What are you doing? You know? Because check this out. Whenever I am sick, I want the attention. I want people to fill my needs because it's about me. Jesus on the cross, if there was any time for Jesus to make it all about him, it's right there, right? If there's any time for anybody to feel God's wrath, it's right there. But Jesus, in the midst of that, said, forgive them. And this is what makes it so beautiful. He did that in his humanity. Yes, he was fully God, fully man. Fully man had to absorb the wrath of God so we can be reconciled to him. So if Jesus neglected himself in his humanity, then we can do the same thing. Now check this out. Practically, y'all, so what do I need to do to forgive, to move forward? You have to do this, y'all. Deny yourself the right to wrath. Jesus could have snapped his fingers and wiped out everybody. Everybody. But he relinquished his rights and said, God, I'm going to experience this so we can be reconciled, that we can be together forever. You know how beautiful that is. That's love. That's love. You saints, you are capable of that love. That love is inside of you. It said God is love, and he who dwells in love dwells in God. It takes that beautiful love, and you're capable of doing it. I wasn't going to say this at first, but I think I'm going to say it now. Check this out. If you're sitting here, and if you made it up in your mind, like, nope, I'm not going to forgive. I'm not going to forgive. I'm not going to forgive. Then you should question your salvation to begin with. And that's tough. The Bible says, like, you know, think about this. When Jesus told us to pray, he goes, you know, forgive my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against us. And then after Jesus told us how to pray, at the end of that, he goes, like forgive others of your trespasses so God can forgive your trespasses. So if God doesn't forgive your sin, if you don't forgive others, God ain't forgiving your sins. And no matter how much you prophesied in his name, and no matter how much you said, Lord, Lord, you ain't gonna enter the kingdom of heaven. I'm not saying that you will lose your salvation. I believe we are sealed. But I believe that if you have the inability to forgive, you weren't saved in the first place, no matter how much you feel it. And God, devil has deceived you all the way to hell. That's scary. Deny yourself the right to wrath. I'm going to end with this. On June 17th, 2015, there was a Bible study taking place at Emmanuel AMC Church in South Carolina. Bible study was taking place, and then a man walked in to the church building, saw the congregation, The congregation looked at him and invited the man to pray with them. So while they're praying, this man pulled out a gun and opened fire on the congregation, killing 9 of them. 9. After they offered him to pray with them. Fast forward. They're in the courtroom. The daughter of the slain mother, her mother was brutally killed by the hand of this evil individual. And this is what the daughter said to the man. She said this, and I quote, "You took someone precious away from me. I would never be able to talk to her again. I would never get to hold her again. But I forgive you. You hurt me, and you hurt a lot of people. But God forgives you, and I forgive you." Only the love, the forgiving love of Jesus Christ can do that. You all, I don't know if you've been abused, you've been hurt, you've been wronged, or whatever you may have experienced. If you're a saint, you have God right there inside of you, and he's like, hey, forgive, 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 forgive. Y'all, the time to do it is today, right now, today. Which means you're looking at that person and you're saying, you know what? You don't deserve my wrath. You don't. Are you willing to do that, men and women? Because Jesus did that to you. Let's stand. Bible says, and they will know that you are my disciples by the love that you will have for one another. New beginnings fellowship. That is and will be even more new beginnings fellowship. The world will see our abnormal love that we have for one another. How we forgive one another. No matter how crazy, no matter how hurtful the sin is, we forgive them. The world will see that. And they're like, wait a minute. What's up with this Christianity? And God will increase our sphere of influence and we can give the gospel to the world. That will happen because of the love that we have for one another. That's new beginnings love. So how about we start doing that right now? I, Richard Marks, got to have some tough conversations. But I don't want my prayers to be hindered. And I don't want my relationship with you to be damaged, to be obstructed. I want our relationship to be beautiful. This challenges me, and I pray that God challenges you. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, God, so much for your forgiveness. Wow. We killed you. We killed you, Father. But you forgave us. Thank you, God, so much. We pray, God, we will follow your example and do the same. Forgive us for our sins. Highlight in our hearts who we need to talk to so everything will be okay. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray, everybody said, amen, amen. Before you leave, two things. One, there's a spaghetti lunch right after. And so if I can get a bunch of men to help out with stacking chairs to put them on side of the tables. Stacking the chairs to put them on side of the walls, they'll be fantastic. And putting out tables. If I get as many men as possible, they'll be fantastic. And second, before you leave, how about we celebrate this baptism? All right, y'all, let's go.